Scripture, or two scriptures, in the book of Proverbs, 19th chapter, 20th verse. Again, you know my instruction for this year has been listen, listen, listen. And guess what? I'm starting this subject as well. It says, listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end, you will be counted among the wise. So guess what? If they say that there's those that are counted among the wise, there are also those that are counted among the fools too. We better move on quickly. Proverbs 19:21 says this. It says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Say it with me, the Lord's purpose prevails. And guess I want to let you know that in your life, it's God's purpose that prevails. As we pray, Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for speaking to us and through us today. We just seek your will and plan and purpose for our lives. So you get the glory. That's our prayer. Thank you for a rich and warm worship expression today, God. Thank you, Lord. That makes it all worthwhile. We don't just want to go through the motions, God, but we really want to have your presence. We want to just worship an audience of one, God. So you receive our praise. You receive what we offer today. And Father, we ask in the matchless name of Jesus. And if God has been good to you this week, done something that no one else could do, why don't you take a moment to give him your best praise right where you are. I mean, let's give him your best. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone wrote it like this, when God's purpose and our passion come alive, we find ourselves walking God's destiny for our lives. And that's one thing I like where we are as a church, because we are seeking God's purpose, and it's striking a passion within us that some of us didn't even know we had, that we could be so passionate about something. Even our praise, I must admit that even when I was coming up as even a child, I saw people worshiping God. I didn't really know what it was about. I saw hands going up and tears sometimes flowing and falling. But if you don't have a relationship with God, it's hard for you to enter that place, because, you know, it's about a relationship, about you knowing him. And it's important for us to know that, man, when we really tap into our purpose, we come alive. Can I get a good witness in this house? Passion is actually stirred up on the inside of us. And if you live a dead, dry life, that is not God's best for you. Can I get a good amen? Amen. So God wants you to be alive and alive on the inside of him. Because when I see that God really has our best interest at heart, that he really created us with good things in mind. He wanted to enjoy us. I love that passage in the book of Revelation. It's like the fourth chapter and about the 11th verse. It simply says this, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they were created. In other words, you created all things, and you created them for your pleasure. That's why I like this beginning of this year and what it means to us, because everything has to have the foundation, and this is the foundation. We were created to be loved by God and to love God. That's the foundation. That's the preposition of everything else we do, that we were created to be loved by God and to love God, and it's important that we know that. And they say, well, how do you know we were created to be loved by God? Well, I have an example. I think it's an illustration that will, you know, strike home. It's a couple, young couple, that They went, got their college degrees and got married and have a house and good incomes. But then they called me and said, Pastor, we want to have a baby. And I was like, good, 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 good. And then they said, so, you know, you want to have, but yeah, we want to have a baby so we can have something that we created to love. And I was thinking like, wow. And isn't that how God does? And they said, once this baby, we're going to love this child. No child can't do anything with us right now. We're just going to love this child. And it's interesting. You're going to be wiping behind and cleaning diapers and cleaning up after them. Tell them, stop, sit down, shut up. But you just want something to love? But isn't that how God established us? You know, man, even wiping behind a long time, God has that. Cleaning up messes. Running up behind you, straightening out stuff. were created to be loved by God. And then when we come to a point of maturity, and that is what we're talking about. When that child comes to a point of maturity, he can't start off, he can't love you back. But later on, he begins to recognize what you've done for him and how much you've loved him and how much you sacrificed for him or her, whatever the case might be. And then you express that love back. And that love you express back when it comes to God, that is our worship to God. That is that next point. So what is worship? Worship is our response to God's love. So God says, I love you, children. You're my children. He lavishly pours out his love on us. And man, our worship response is, God, we love you back. I want you to know that when we're in service, you know, and even in a song, whether it's in song or something else, man, we need to let God know that, God, we appreciate you loving us like you do. And that's where that passage says, I love this, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. But he who does not love does not know God, because what? God is love. God is love. And we need to be reminded of that God is love. So worship is that first step toward that. Worship is setting our affections upon something or someone. And it's important that we do that. So our attention and our affections is set upon him. Now, later on today, there's going to be two football games. And I'm going to let you out a little early. I'm just letting you know already. Man, I am praying, you know, who could not pray for the Saints, right? You know, I'm just saying. And some of us are patriotic individuals anyway, too, so. But I'm just saying. And then some folks, they've been from Kansas City, so there's a something in it for everybody. But some people, that when they go, I've got one of my partners that got tickets to the Kansas City game. And, man, they say, I got good tickets, like I'm right in the middle. It's going to be cold. They're going to be outside. But guess what? They're going to be screaming and yelling with boots and hats and scarves on. That's why when we come to church, don't tell me we can't give that kind of worship unto God. Outside in the cold, find a park with some mittens on, talking about, go Kansas City. Mahomes is my boy. Mahomes, can your boy go throw that ball? But the thing about it is, when we think of all that God has done to us, our response to him is worship. And another definition of worship I've kind of taken on is that it is when we use our abilities that God has given us to bring glory to his name. So not all of it's singing, not all of it's, you know, praying and that kind of thing, but if you have a gift in art, but you use that gift in art to bring glory to God. And when you draw something, you look at that and say, man, God, you gave me the ability to do that. When you can decorate, when you can make something beautiful and you know it's not you, but you know God did it. You say, God, I worship you. And it blesses him, because some of you have amazing talents. And I'm just going to say this because, you know, I didn't say this earlier, but I want to just throw you away. Some of you all, God has given gifts, but you haven't even tapped into them because you minimize what God has put in you. But how can you minimize the great God that deposited himself into you through the Holy Spirit? I believe without a doubt, and we're going to be having something called, I guess a think tank, so to speak, because God let me know that there were some young people, some older people in the house that have some ideas, but they have never, you know, told anyone about it. But don't you know that most of the ideas and inventions and innovations are still yet to come? Think about it, man. I didn't know nothing about internet when I was in high school. Well, I won't tell you how long that's been ago, but it's been a minute. You know, we didn't know about lane assists, where you've got a car and that if you get ready to go into the other lane, it's going to beep and tell you don't go over there. And if you get too close to a wall, it'll stop for you. What? Man, I should have had that a long time ago. Many times I went into the ditch and I was trying to go to sleep while I'm driving. I'm just saying. Here's my point. There are a lot of individuals that have creativity, and that creativity came from God. Did you hear what I said? That creativity came from God. Don't resist it, but recognize it's God that gives you those things. And people, you say, well, they're crazy to think that the Jetson age will be going. I mean, you remember the Jetsons, right? They doing all that stuff, have a robot going around vacuuming. Now y'all ordered on Amazon robots to vacuum your house. Are you with me today? You're talking to Alexa now. Alexa, what time is it? Alexa, tell me a joke. Y'all getting fancy with it. Alexa, you know, you do your math on it. I mean, she bad. I'm just saying that God put it in someone. Don't think that everything has to be church running around and jumping over pews before you're anointed. I'm preaching good. More, man, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that, I'm getting ready to move on, but I, one of my boys on TV, I was checking him out, actually on YouTube, because I'm really, very rarely, but anyway, this pastor was sharing with me about the fact that their church came up with an app, and the app has just went crazy, and it's been, they've been such a blessing to so many people, and he was saying it's called the Bible app, and I'm thinking like, yeah, you know what? That is an amazing app, and so many people all around the world have been blessed by it. This on my phones. How many got it on their phones? Look, the number of people. That's somebody, God gave them the idea to do that. The thing about it is that we don't think that's spiritual. That is super spiritual. Can I get a witness in the house? It's not running, jumping, and kicking your feet in the air. But man, is it ever God. That's why we can't limit God. We got to recognize it. When God does an amazing thing over here, we just got to recognize his hand. We got to give him the praise. Say, God, thank you for putting this creativity in me. And I pray that we have this think tank and so many people come with ideas, and then we'll connect the people that know how to fund it, and then all of us be blessed. Can I get a witness in the house? Somebody give God a praise. Hallelujah. And then also God created us for fellowship. You know, if you are all by yourself, that's never God's intention. You say, I'm just by myself. I don't fellowship with nobody. I don't talk to nobody. Nobody don't talk to me. I don't call nobody. Nobody calls me. I just keep to myself. How many of you all know something's wrong with that picture? You were created for fellowship. You know, God designed you for fellowship. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, it says that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. That means they had a relationship, and they was walking. And I don't think they was just walking. They were probably talking as well. Moses went on the mountain and talked to God face to face as a man talks to. Isn't it amazing? That's the kind of relationship when we're singing, and we're not just singing songs. No, we're singing to a God that we know and that we love. Are you with me today? So it's important for us. Mary, the Bible says that she chose the best part. What was the best part? Singing at the feet of Jesus and fellowshipping with him. Not having to do anything. Sometimes we get so in so big of a hurry that we miss the best part. The best part of marriage is not me working and coming home and saying, okay, now I'm going to take out the trash and now I'm going to, you know, hang this picture. That's not the best part. Can I get a witness? I won't tell you what the best part is, but it's fellowship. Hallelujah. I'm going to get in trouble. I already know. Oh, Jesus, help me out, Lord. Well, I don't know what y'all saying over there. We're gonna pray. You know, here's what Paul said. Paul said this. Paul said that I might know him. How, Paul? Well, by the power of your resurrection. Now that's good. Man, I want that power and being the power of your resurrection. And by the fellowship, here's that word, fellowship of your suffering. Oh, not only during good times, because I'm good with the power of your resurrection. Oh, yeah. Power, I got up on the third day. But also by the fellowship of your suffering? You mean we can fellowship in suffering? And some of us, on this earth, we have had some suffering. And even knowing him and suffering for Christ, it brings, and that's why one place he says that I reckon the suffering of this very present day is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in Christ. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, it's a small thing compared to what God has. Somebody give God a praise in this house. Hallelujah. It's a small thing. Hallelujah. And then There's also one more that we talk about. There's five. We're only going to deal with three of them today. And serving is another one. And when you hear the word serving, many times it says, oh, you go the other way when you talk about serving, because some folks do not want to serve. Can't I get a witness? In the lazy section. Hallelujah. I just don't want to serve. But serving is a good thing. And you don't serve out of obligation. We don't serve out of, I'm out of duty because I have to do this. And I had to learn this because my first walk in God, you know, in its early stages, it was all about me doing this out of obligation. I was giving out of obligation because they say you got to give 10%. So guess what? I'm going to figure out exactly how's 10 9, minus this one and times this one and subtract that one. And there was some taxes in that too. So man, it went all the way from there to saying, God, you know what? All that you blessed me with, it's a small thing to remember you first because I can't outgive you. So, Father, take what I have, and I have it with a good attitude. Are you with me today? And some people come to me and say, well, should it be before taxes or after taxes? It don't matter. Give out of your heart, but make sure you give that. Give this unto you, God. Are you with me today? I used to preach out of obligation and out of duty and, you know, because I had to. And then God began to say, son, I've given you an opportunity to touch lives, and you'll be touching lives through eternity. So I get up, I said, Father, and I even write it on my notes sometimes. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you've given me to stand before your precious people and to share a message that may be life-changing to somebody. I want you to know that I want you to know that we should never have an attitude when we deliver or serve God or serve people through God. When you drive the bus, man, do it as unto God. When you sweep the bathrooms, sweep them as unto God. When you sing your song, sing it as unto God. When you open the door for your whoever, do it as unto God. It's a service, because don't you know that the things that you do to the least of these, my little ones, you do it as unto him? So it's serving God when you serve others. Somebody give God a praise. So our love is expressed back to God through worship. And I love the passage when God looks at us and expresses his love toward us. And he says in one particular place, he says, what is man that you're mindful of him? The psalmist is saying this. And the son of man that you visit him. For you've made him a little lower than the angels, or Elohim. And you've crowned him with glory and honor, is what he says. You've crowned him with glory and honor. So man has got your attention. Can I let you know that you've got God's attention? He looks at you and smiles. You are his baby. Can I get a witness? You absolutely are. And it's important that you remember that. Even in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of the challenges that you go through, he's still got his eye on you. And somehow in the midst of your suffering, it brings you all closer together, because where is she going to go? Someone was talking the other day. They said, wow, I'm in the midst of something, and the enemy is trying to get me to go back. But why would I go back? There's nothing back there I want. Have you ever been with me today? I just want you to know that the devil doesn't have anything for me. And something about suffering, even during that time of suffering, it brings us closer together. And I was thinking, that's what they were sharing back this past week. I made the example of when my wife was expecting Dion. I always think like this: if you were there for, you know, the order, you need to be there for the delivery. And I was at the delivery room. That's just my opinion, you know. But I was in the delivery room, and Dion was... He was not the quickest baby to come out. So after about an hour of blowing and breathing, it was our first. So I'm in there with her, and, you know, we went through Lamaze, you know, breathe. It was cool for the first hour. We were breathing, and next hour we still breathing. Man, nothing happened. 5 hours later, 10 hours later, we... I said, is it gone yet? Gone, as in, because you breathe during the contractions, and then you relax after it's over. So he said, I'm breathing with her. Man, 20 hours later, we breathing and tugging, and they sticking stuff places and trying to figure out, is it coming? But we was going through suffering. by the fellowship of your son. There's something that happened after 23 hours. We got to praise God, saying, God, thank you. He finally, a head popped out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It was something, though, about going through fellowship and suffering that caused us to bond. And in that hospital room with a tear dropped down my eye, I said, God, when she gets home, I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to serve her more. I'm going to appreciate, because anybody that goes through 9 months and 23 hours, hallelujah, we need to give them some props. Can I get a good amen in the house? And all the women said amen, hallelujah. So we were created to be loved by God and to love God, and that's expressed through worship, through fellowship, through serving. But that is our purpose. But don't you know, without a doubt, we have an enemy who doesn't want us to live out our purpose. We have an enemy who doesn't want us to live out our purpose. You know, in fact, witness to a neighbor, the neighbor, we've got an enemy. Doesn't want you to live out your purpose. Now, I want you to know that God had purpose on your life before you arrived on the scene, but there's been an enemy that tries to stop you from moving in what God has called you to move in. And it's important that we recognize that we're not just out here by ourselves, but there's an enemy trying to stop you every time you make progress. Because the first time I said, you know, first of the year we're going to fast, and some the enemy going to speak in your ear, you know, who is he talking about fast? You know, we're going to go fast as we can to fast food. I'm just saying, the enemy will talk to you. He'll get in your head. Can I get a witness? Because he wants to do something. In the book of John says this, 10 and 10, and I like the NLT. It says, the thief's purpose is to do what? So the thief has a purpose. He has a purpose. The thief, the devil, the enemy has a purpose. What is his purpose? It is to. How many of you know that he will do all he can to steal your joy, your peace? Anything that God has given you or your purpose, anything that God has for you, he wants to take it from you. He wants to kill you, your influence, and destroy you, totally destroy you. But look what Jesus says. This is written in red in the King James Version. It says, my purpose is to what? Some say I'm familiar with the King James Version. I came that you might have what? Life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And all you NIV folks, y'all said, I came that you might live life till it overflows. But anywhere you go, Jesus came and his purpose was to give us life that we might live life to the full until it overflows more abundantly. Somebody give him a praise in the house. Can I let you know that that abundant life is tied in your purpose? Oh, God. That abundant life is tied and wrapped up in your purpose. When you do your purpose, that's and operate in your purpose, that's when you become fulfilled. Not when you're doing your own thing, but when you know that this is what God has called you to do. You say, God, thank you, but this is why I've arrived on the scene. Somebody give him a praise in this house. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. That's why when God tells us to witness to somebody and we do it, there's a fulfillment about it. That's why when we go pray for someone or to encourage someone, fulfillment is attached to that. Because when you do it God's way, there's something about fulfillment and excitement and passion that takes place. I thank God that I'm walking in my purpose because it makes all the difference. Give him a praise in this house. He's God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Don't forget that we have an enemy that wants to stop us. Now, here's a passage. You say, we have an enemy. Look what the scripture says regarding that enemy in 1 Peter 5 and 8. It says this, be alert. Who's he talking to? We need to be alert and sober. That's why we start the first of the year out doing what? Fasting and praying, being locked in to God. What would you have us to do? We want to hear your voice. We want to be alert, spiritually sensitive and keen and acute to all you're saying. Why? We don't want to be dull. We want to be alert and sober-minded, not drunk-minded, all over the place. I want sound mind. I want my mind to be right. Because your enemy, the what? Whose enemy is he? He says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for what? He's looking for someone. And if he finds somebody, guess what? He'll find someone that's not alert and someone that's not sober-minded. They're just going around. Da, 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 da. Not alert and not sober-minded. Man, the enemy will get you if you're not alert. Can't I get a witness? But there's a word that God gives us, and he says, resist him. He's coming looking for you, but he says, resist him, and then he says, stand firm in the faith. Don't play around. Don't be messing around with it. Don't be saying, well, I'm kind of a Christian, and I'm kind of not. No, you stand firm. You resist the devil and stand firm in your faith. There's something about standing firm that makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in the world. Some people, they're just so wishy-washy, straddling the fence in their faith. You know, because again, the fellas, you know, they got some conniving fellas. They got some conniving sisters too. You know, that have a plan for you if you're not careful. If you don't know where you're going and what you're doing. And I remember in school, you know, they would see, you know, what's up, and they would talk to some sisters, and they would be like, you know, you try to, you know, woo, I better be careful with this illustration. Be try to, you know, get at them or whatever, and then, you know, sisters that don't really mean no, they'd be like, oh, stop, quit, stop, not. I'm just being real. And the guys, when someone come at them, they're like, oh, you know. But then they've got those that are serious. They say, oh, no, I don't play that. You better get that stuff out of here. You know what? I'm appalled that you'd even come at me like that. You know I don't roll like that. It's a huge difference. Got to get a witness. I was telling you one sister, I felt bad for the dude. He tried to, you know, get at her. And, man, he touched her the wrong way. You know how some people just like that. So oh, stop. Man, she started bobbing, weaving. Wow. Man, he had knots on his head. I think we ought to be that way when it comes to the devil. Devil, don't get in my way. I ain't playing. I'm resisting you. And if you get in my way, I'm going to drop you because I'm strong in my faith. We need to be totally committed, totally dedicated, not playing, not smiling and grinning and cheesing. No, I know who I serve. I know who I serve, and I'm walking strong in my faith. I'm not compromising. Can I get a good amen in the house? God doesn't want us to compromise. He wants us to stand firm in the faith. Resist the devil, and he will submit to God and resist the devil, and the devil will flee. So it's important for us to submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil flees. And sometimes we get it wrong. I know we do because I have. Sometimes we resist God, submit to the devil, and we flee. I got a scripture for that too, but I won't go there right now. But let's do it like God says in the book of James. Let's submit unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And you say, well, what passage? You said sometimes the enemy said, well, I'm not going to flee. Well, you have to, because the Bible says it, because I'm using the name of Jesus, and you have no authority over the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Look at this next passage in the book of, and the same passage, the last part of it. And it says, and the God of grace who called you into his eternal glory, after you have suffered a while, a little while, now sometimes it's going to be some suffering, but you've got to stay steadfast, for will restore you. Who will? He will restore you. He himself will restore you. Some of you all are ready for restoration. Can I get a witness in the house? You're ready for God to restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. Hallelujah. I just want you to know that God wants us to be steadfast in our faith. Give him one more praise. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, let me also share this with you. It's important for us to know that we've got to resist the enemy. And some would ask the question, well, why is he so angry at us? And why does he have such a bad attitude? Can I let you know that your enemy has a history? Say it with him. My enemy has a history. And see, some of us think that our enemy's history was all bad, but our enemy's history was not all bad. Our enemy's history, to be truthful, he was one of three angels named in the Bible, one that had rank. There was Michael, there was Gabriel, they were archangels, meaning having rank over others. And it was Lucifer, who also was an archangel, and he had rank over a third of heaven. I just want you to know that he has a history, and his history actually was a good thing because God created Lucifer. And I've got proof of it in the Bible. God, I created you. I made you beautiful. He was beautiful, had all kind of diamonds and jasper and I mean beryl. If you look at it, all he was so beautiful and he was gorgeous and he could sing and play instruments, and his body was an instrument. Worship was his thing. And the Bible says he was cool until he put the eye in front of everything. And I love this passage in Isaiah 14, 11. It simply says this. It says Isaiah 11:14. That's a good one right there. It says, all your pomp, meaning being puffed up, has been brought down to the grave along with the noise of your harp. In other words, there were strings that was taking place on the inside of you. He says, maggots are spread out beneath you and worms cover you. How have you fallen from heaven, is what he said. You morning star, son of the dawn, you have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations. And go to the next verse. You said in your heart, this is what I'm saying, I will. And anytime you put I in front of will, it's going to be a problem, especially if you're talking about your will and not God's will. I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned. And I'm afraid today of that whole high seat thing. I will sit, and one of my fellow preachers, you know, from another area, he wrote me a letter, says, hey, my enthronement ceremony is going to be such as I'd like you to be there. I said, oh, I'm not coming. Well, I don't want to be enthroned over anything, because God is the one that's supposed to sit on the throne. Can I get a witness in this place? He says, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Can I let you know, anytime we lift ourselves up and boast and proud, make ourselves proud, we have to be careful of that. You know, and I haven't come this far to mess up at this age, because I'm going to have a birthday later on this year. And I don't want to mess up when you get a certain age. Can I get a witness? You know, I ran the race well in the beginning, and guess what, folks? I want to finish well, and I'm not letting anything throw me off, get me off track. I don't care who, what. No. When you get to close to the finish line, oh, man, I want to say like Paul, I ran my race. I finished my course. Now laid up for me. Now, that's not my message. A crown of righteousness. Glory to your name, God. So here's my point, is that, you know, we have an enemy who wants to throw us off, but Lucifer, the angel, at one point, and I don't have time to develop this fully, but just know that he was a ranking angel. God created him, and Scripture says it, and some of you say, Pastor, I've never read that before. After you leave, read Ezekiel 28, and it talks about the very thing. He says that God created him, and he made him an anointed cherub that covers and protects. You mean to tell me his job was worshiping? His job was, you know, protecting? He was anointed? So you mean to tell me that he went from being high in stature to getting lifted up to coming all the way down and being kicked down from heaven? No wonder he has a bad attitude. No wonder he can't stand you. No wonder he doesn't want you to excel or succeed. No wonder he doesn't want you to operate in your purpose, because he's no longer operating his purpose, because his initial purpose wasn't to steal, kill, and destroy, but because he didn't do God's will and got caught up in pride, then he got into something else, and then he got booted and got the left foot of fellowship. Can I let you know, folks, that the same thing will happen today. If you don't find your purpose, if you don't operate in your purpose, if you don't do what God has called you to do, you'll be in a place and you'll be having a bad attitude. You'll be tormented by the enemy. Why? Because you're not operating in your purpose. But when you operate in your purpose, all types of things have to drop behind you. Why? Because God is for you, He's with you, and you're doing what He called you to do. Somebody give God a praise in this house. I mean, give Him a big praise. He's a good God. So we have to be careful, and I tell people on a regular basis that there's something about praise that absolutely the Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says, and they repeat it in the book of Matthew when the children are giving Jesus praise, and He says that hasn't God ordain praise? Well, they get that from the book of Psalm, and where Psalm says that God ordained praise to silence the enemy. The Sabaoth is the Hebrew word to shut the enemy up, to paralyze the enemy. If you want to shut him up, you just begin to give God praise. If you begin to praise God, the enemy has to shut up. The Bible said He does. You know why it causes him such anger and has to shut his mouth? Because when someone used to do a job and God called them to do it, and they didn't do it because they got caught up, and then the Bible says that God kicked him out of heaven. And I'll go into some details of that, but he had to leave heaven, and it was like an eviction, and it wasn't like a fight, because some say, well, it was a big fight. No, it wasn't no fight. God is God. Bap, get out. It saw him fall like lightning from heaven. Now, I got some brothers that tried to get big in our house, I won't talk too much, but when dad makes his mind up, and one of them thought he could take dad. Can you believe that? My dad in his prime, you really? He was a teenager, came home, stuck his chest out. I was like, oh, this is going to be a good one. Didn't take long. I said, bam, bam. Dad don't play. And what do you think about our Heavenly Father? If He wants to do something, He has all power. And when He kicked Lucifer out of heaven, it wasn't a big old fight. It was just like, get out of here. And guess what? Here's the thing. Here's what I want to do at this point. He took a third of heaven with Him. Let me bring this point. This is pretty serious. Why does Pastor Doss want to be careful about how he leads in 2019? Because there are a lot of people that are following me. Why don't I want to fall? Because many times when you fall, there are those that fall behind you. Because, some of us are the only Bible that some people read. Oh, hallelujah, Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of what? Nor sitteth in the seat of the... See, we've got to be careful because we affect people because he got off one third. He took it with him. Do me a favor, witness the name and say, I can't get off. Don't get off. Too many people are watching you. Some of y'all say, well, I ain't going to say that. No. There's too many people watching. I believe that there was a third that was assigned to Gabriel, another third assigned to Michael, the warring and the prayer angel, and there was a third assigned to Lucifer. And when Lucifer left, he took a third of heaven with him. But thank God for the two-thirds that's left. Hallelujah. But here's what happens. Follow me here. Is whenever someone is defeated or found out or exposed and they're angry, have you ever seen anybody that lose a game, we like play the board games and they lost and they, before it's over, they're going to tear it all up. they say, if I can't win, ain't nobody gonna play. If I can't win, if I no, no, just tear it all up, knock it all down, kick it all around. Y'all know somebody like that? Don't look at them in service. But the devil has that kind of attitude. He got a bad attitude. Why? Because he lost. Why? Because he got booted. Why? Because you're in the place that he used to be in. Now, here's the thing. When God has to remove somebody because they wouldn't act right, hear me on this. Because his purpose will prevail, it doesn't mean that he won't receive praise. It just means that the one that was praising him, you might not praise him, but I'll raise somebody else to praise him. I'll raise somebody else to worship me. I'll raise somebody else to give me the glory that I deserve. That's why he adorned us and established us and placed his anointing upon us, that we might take the Lucifer's place and give God praise and glory in heaven and bless him and say, God, we'll honor you, we'll bless you. And he says, if you don't do it, the rocks will cry out, because I will get my praise. I am God. Somebody give God a shout in this house. I mean, give God a big praise in this house. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I want you to know that if you want to shut his mouth, you just begin to praise him. Why? Because you're acting in his place. He used to be the anointed cherub that covers and protects. That word protects is the same word they use as pastor. Oh, man, I could take you somewhere here, but I got to move on. Can I let you know that there were some people that were in place, but because they got lifted up in pride, you know, he goes, next person up, who's going to humble themselves before me? Who's going to do it my way? Guess what? I've made up my mind. God, your way. Hallelujah. Your way, God, not mine. Give him a shout in this house. He's God. My last point is this, and it just kind of goes like this, that God's purpose will prevail. You said, Pastor, you repeated that. Some things, you know, deserve repeating. God's purpose will prevail. God's purpose will win out. Yeah, a lot of things come up in our hearts in this way and that way, but God's purpose will prevail. Can I let you know why his purpose will prevail? Because he's God, he makes the rules. He's God. He does what he wants, when he wants. He uses who he wants. Yeah. Can I also let you know that he's purposed for you to do great things on the earth, because you are called and you are chosen. Say it with me, I'm called and I'm chosen. And you've got to recognize that even if things go well or things don't go well in your life, remember, you're called and you're chosen. Sometimes I have to pinch myself and say, Jerry Wayne, you're here, you're called, you're chosen, you're here for a purpose and a reason, and you're not going to leave this earth until you do what God called you to do. Are you with me today? And I get that attitude, say, God, thank you for choosing me. And then he gives me this scripture. It says that we are a royal priesthood. You all like that passage too? Put it on the screen if you don't mind, if they've got that. And that's in the book of Peter 1 and 21, 2 and 9. Don't play yet. Hallelujah. I'll give you one because I might just get happy at the end of this. I don't know. So I don't want nothing real sad right now. He says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions, that you may declare praises for him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, that's a place that I shout. Why? Because when I look at my life and I look at the darkness that I was in, when I looked at how messed up I used to be, it's only God that called me out of the darkness that I was in and said, now come on into the light, boy. He called me out of darkness and brought me into the marvelous light. Somebody give God a shout in this house. Or am I by myself? Or am I by myself? He brought me from a mighty long way. He took the very sin out of me and put something else on the inside of me. So I give him praise. Thank you, God. I was in darkness, but you brought me into the light. And I give you a shout right now. Hallelujah. Woo. I got to act right because I'm feeling something. I know the game is coming on, but I got to let me bring this next thing. He brought me into the marvelous light. When I look back where I used to be, thank you, God, for where you brought me from, God. You called my name. You called my name. washed away my sins, cleansed me and made me whole. And I go give you the praise, God. So my praise is for real because I know how far you brought me. And I bless you, God, because you did it and you'll do it again. Give him a shout in this house. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Bless him real big, he's God. I'm done. You can stay on your feet. You can stay on your feet. I'll finish it next time. Shout out with me. I'm chosen. I'm called. I'm blessed. If you believe it, give him a praise in the house. Thank you, God. I gotta quit, but I'm not done. I feel something. Let me end on this note. He said, Pastor, what ending this? I don't know. Maybe it's the bottom of the ninth. I don't know. But it's gonna be a walk-off. Hallelujah. You said, Pastor, you don't understand that sometimes the enemy will, even though I know that I'm blessed and I'm called, the enemy will try his best to come against me still with some crazy thoughts. Can I let you know that it was the same way with so many men of God, and these thoughts come, and I know I'm blessed, but when I leave here, I don't necessarily feel blessed, and my circumstances don't, you know, say that I'm blessed. And in the midst of all of that, you know, I have to somehow do what it says in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds and even arguments that wrestle. I want you to know that when these arguments come, you've got to pull that stuff down. When the enemy says you're defeated, oh, no, I'm victorious. When the enemy says you can't make it, oh, no, I can make it. When enemy comes to you and talks all kind of crazy noise, the Bible says these thoughts that come your way, what do you have to do? Pull down every thought and make it obedient to the very word of God. Some of us, we've been letting the devil talk too much to us. Your thoughts have been running wild. Your thoughts have been based upon how much money you have in the bank. Your thoughts have been based upon what the doctor said about your health. The doctors, even when people talk about you will never exceed or never succeed, but if God is for you, who can be against you? Somebody give me praise in this house. Woo! How do I do that? I'm glad you asked. I got something called a daily confession. Here's what it sounds like. And you can say it with me if you want to. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings. If God is for me, who can be against me? I am called and chosen by God. Nothing can stop my purpose. God loves me so much that he gave his son for me. He chose me. He anointed me to walk in divine purpose. No weapon formed against me. Y'all, I don't hear you. No weapon formed against me. That the enemy is formed against me will not prosper. I am blessed. I am anointed. I am redeemed. I am an heir of heaven. I am seated in heavenly places. I am God's workmanship. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a new creation. I am a citizen of heaven. I am rooted and grounded in love. I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. Now praise him like it is true.